Well, I know how, and that is hit it full speed ahead. Jesus comes. I believe what is referred to as the imminent return of the Lord Jesus. Imminency, the doctrine of imminency, means Jesus could come at any moment. No man knows the time, according to Matthew 24 and 36, but he could come at any moment. Do you realize, my brother and sister, this morning, there are 1,845 verses contained in the Old Testament that refer to this glorious appearing of our great God and Savior? Do you also realize, out of 27 books in the New Testament, 23 of them have reference to the ushering in of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In fact, someone has calculated one out of every 30 verses in the New Testament have a reference to the coming of the Lord Jesus himself. One out of every 30. Bottom line is God wants us to know that, thank God, he's fulfilled his promises and his prophecies concerning the first coming of Jesus, and you can rest assured he's going to fulfill the prophecies and the promises that Jesus will come again. I hope you're ready. I hope that you are rapture ready. Today the Lord laid a message on my heart all week long. I've been praying about that verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where the Word of God says, do this in remembrance of me until I come, until he comes. And that verse has been registered in my heart. And so I want to preach for just a few minutes on the subject, rapture ready. RR, not rest and relax, rapture ready. Are you rapture ready? And you see, the fact is, I don't know about y'all, but I can tell you honestly, the older I get, the more I'm looking, not for the undertaker, but thank God, the uppertaker. Amen. If you don't believe and say amen, you at least grunt. I want to hear you grunt one time, amen. It's called a holy grunt. At least you ought to go, I mean, God bless us, amen. It's just church, and you're not going to be able to get all what I'm going to share with you today. So I encourage you to get the tape. I'm not trying to promote this, but I just want you to know you're not going to get it. It's just going to be too much. There's too much scripture. It's too much. It's going to be just, it's just a lot. But God's had me in the Word this week, and God's had me thinking and praying concerning this subject, and I want you to listen carefully, and I want you to let God, the Spirit of God, register in your heart. But I do believe that the Lord is indeed the imminent return of the Lord Jesus. And by the way, as speaking of getting older, I heard about a man that had three sets of glasses. Three sets of glasses, Brother Bob. Three sets of glasses, Brother David. Three sets of glasses, Brother Ronnie. Had some, one pair so he could see at night to drive in the dark. And he had a second pair where he could see how to read up close. He had a third pair so he could see how to find his other two pair. Y'all been there too, haven't you? Did you hear, speaking of getting older, did you hear about the lady that was getting forgetful-minded? How many of you getting forgetful-minded these days? Amen. But this one dear lady said to another lady, said, do you ever get to the point where you remember somebody the life of you can't remember their name? Come on. You see them, but you can't remember their name. I saw somebody yesterday, and they said, hey, and they called me by name, and I'm thinking, who is this? But anyway, I heard about a lady that saw another lady, and she said, for the life of me, I can remember faces, but I can't remember your name. She said, tell me your name. The other lady said, can you give me a minute? She couldn't remember her own name. Oh, listen, brother. Did you hear about the lady that was going to the nursing home, really, in the retirement center? And 89 years old. 89 now, and she was telling her friends about Romeos in the nursing home. Romeos, R-O-M-E-O, Romeos in the nursing home. 89. And so one of the ladies said to her, said, well, tell me, what's this Romeo? Tell me about these Romeos in the nursing home. She said, Romeos stands for retired old men eating out. R-O-M-E-O. I don't know about that, but I did hear about a man that was standing in the mirror flexing his muscles, and he his wife was standing in the background, and he said, man, I used to have bulging biceps. He said, I don't know what's happened to him. He said, man, my chest and stomach used to be rock solid. He said, my soul, he said, man, it's just all, it's just not like it used to be. And his wife spoke up, you got to admit, there's nothing wrong with your eyesight. I don't know about that, but I know this. Rapture ready. It's right around the corner, brother. And here is what I want to say to you. There is a custom over in the Middle East, Albania and other customs, that when you eat at a restaurant, how many of you go to a restaurant every once in a while? When you go to a restaurant, if you wobble up your neck, throw it on the table, it means this. It means I am finished. And therefore, the waiter knows not to come back. And, he knows that you're finished. But, on the other hand, if you're a restaurant and you're not through, but you're excused from the table, what you do, you take your napkin and you neatly fold it and you place it on the table. And that way the waiter knows when he comes or she comes back that you are not finished. Think about that for a moment. Because about 2,000 years ago, at a place outside of Jerusalem, there was a tomb, and it was empty, but it wasn't really fully empty. There was a day called the resurrection morning when Jesus came up out of the grave. The earth shook for joy. The angel rolled the stone away from the tomb, and here's the angel. He's not here. Hell. And then she tells Peter and John, they come running to the tomb. And guess what? John out and Peter, being the younger and the fast, looks in. Guess what he sees? He sees not an empty tomb, but a tomb that has grave clothes. And guess what it had? It had a napkin, a face cloth, a sweat rag, folded and placed in the tomb, as if Jesus was to say, I'll be back, I'll be back. It's not over. I'm coming back. I believe the Lord is coming back again. Are you rapture ready? Five ways that you and I ought to be rapture ready. Five ways that you and I ought to be rapture ready. Here they are. Number one, with confident expectation. With confident expectation. Are you rapture ready? Number two, beware of dangerous days of deception. Beware of days, danger, deception. Danger, deception. Number three, the third way that you and I can prepare. If we believe the Lord is coming any moment. Number three, the third way is this. Not only dangerous days of deception. Number three, thank God for God's great salvation. How can we get ready for the rapture? How can we get ready for the coming of the Messiah? I'll tell you how. Number four, not only by God's great salvation, but number four, watch this, Armageddon's final confrontation. Armageddon's final confrontation. And then number five, now's the time for preparation. Now is the time for preparation. Number one, how can you and I be ready for the coming of this King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Number one, with confident expectation. Confident expectation. I'm just as sure the Lord's coming back as I'm standing here today. And by the way, when we talk about the coming of the Lord, there are two terms that we want to try to define today. One is rapture and one is revelation. One is rapture. You do know that the word rapture is not found in the Bible. You find it anywhere. In fact, the word, though, however, is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. The word caught up. Caught up is the Latin word where we get our word harpazo, which literally means to snatch by force. That's where we find the word rapture. But you do realize today, and I'm sharing with you my personal convictions based on the scripture, the Holy Word of God, what the Word of God teaches concerning eschatology, concerning prophecy, concerning the end time. I personally believe that Jesus is coming back in the rapture. And these are two different events, rapture and revelation. The rapture is this, and I'll be in a moment sharing with you. Rapture and then the term revelation or second coming, when Jesus comes in power and glory. Now, if you don't get these two terms distinguished, you'll stay confused as you read the Bible and as you try to study Bible prophecy. But let's go back to the term rapture. I believe the next event on God's calendar, according to many, 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 according to the research of Scripture, is none other than the coming of the Lord in the rapture. And then 7 years of great tribulation will take place. And at the climax and the conclusion of the 7 years, will usher in the Lord Jesus coming and what we call the revelation or the second coming in glory and power. Now, there is a distinct difference between the two. What's the difference? Rapture and revelation. Rapture and second coming. Here it is. Number one, the rapture, when Jesus comes in the rapture, he's coming in the air. However, when he comes in the revelation, he's coming to planet Earth. How do I know that? The Bible says so. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17, the Lord will descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And then the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then those of us that remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air.
so shall we ever be with the Lord. To meet the Lord in the air. However, on the other hand, the revelation, the second coming, he is going to come to planet Earth. How do I know that? Because Zechariah chapter 14 and verse number 4 says this, that he is going to come and step on the Mount of Olives, and it's going to be split in two. You can read it in the book of Zechariah chapter 14. By the way, did you know that Holiday Inn was planning on building a motel on Mount Olives? However, they discovered a geological fault was underneath that mountain. What am I saying? I'm saying it doesn't take a geological fault for God to split the mountain. If the Word of God said it's going to split, it's going to split. That's a good way to grunt right there, amen? It's going to split because God said it's going to split. But there's a distinctive difference between the two. For example, in the rapture, Jesus is coming back for his saints. The blood watch. How many know that you're saved this morning? If you're not saved, I want you to know you'll be left behind. It's going to be hell on earth. I would not put off another moment without getting right with God. But he's coming back in the rapture for his saints. How do I know that? Because the Bible says, the quote I just mentioned, the verse, the dead in Christ shall rise first. The dead in Christ, the saints, the blood-bought, the blood-washed. You look in the Bible, you find the word church is the word ecclesia. Ecclesia. Let's say that together. Ecclesia. Say it again. Ecclesia. Ek means call out. Lesia means a simple one. The called out ones. Interesting to note, by the way, the word church, ecclesia, is not found in Revelation from chapter 5 all the way up to chapter 19. Up through those chapters, it's not mentioned, the church, ecclesia. Why? Because church is not meant to go through the tribulation. Unlike some who believe today, and that's up to them. But there's a difference. First, the rapture is come back for the saints. But in the Revelation, he's coming back with the saints. With the saints. How do I know that? 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 12 and 13 says Jesus is coming back with the saints. Jude verse 14 says he's coming back with 10,000 of his saints. Revelation chapter 19, John said, I saw heaven open, behold a white horse, and he that sat on him is called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. And he says he's coming back with his saints. Thirdly, not only is there a difference in the rapture and the revelation, but third, he's coming in the rapture in a time of comfort. But in the revelation, the second coming, he'll come in a time of judgment. There is a vast difference in the two. First, he's come back in the rapture. There'll be a time of comfort. How do I know that? 1 Thessalonians 4, 16, 17, and 18. The Lord will descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. The dead of Christ rise first, then those of us that remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in there. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Listen to what Paul said. Paul said in verse 18, comfort one another with his words. Comfort one another with his word. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, yesterday I sat at a table of a mom and a daddy that their son had just been taken in death. And there is nothing more that should be comforting to a mom and a daddy, or to how many of you had a loved one that's been taken in death sometime or another. Nothing more should comfort your heart is to know that, thank God, we'll see him again. And when Jesus comes again, comfort one another with his words. Amen and amen. And glory! I'm telling you, you can just sit there and say, well, I don't know about that. But there's comfort in knowing the Lord is coming again. Can I get an amen? There ought to be comfort. Secondly, but in the rapture, that is in the rapture. However, in the revelation, there's no comfort. It's going to be judgment. It's going to be God Almighty, the King of glory, the Lion from the tribe of Judah. We talked about lion in the praise team and just a little while ago. That lion's going to roar. You better believe it. It's going to be a roar, all right. He's going to roar and he's going to judge. Who's he going to judge? First, he's going to judge Israel. You can read it in Matthew chapter 24. Secondly, he's going to judge the Gentiles in Matthew chapter 25. It's going to be a time of judgment. Not at the rapture, but at the revelation. And judgment will determine who enters into the millennium reign. 1,000 years. It's a time of judgment. Only, by the way, to be waiting for that great white throne judgment that's to take place 1,000 years even after the revelation of the Lord. So, there's a difference in rapture and revelation. There's a difference in rapture and the second coming in Jesus with glory and power. verses to verify that. John chapter 14, you know it. In my Father's house are what? Many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That is a reference to the rapture. That is a reference to the snatching away of the bride of Christ. Furthermore, in the book of Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, Paul wrote and said this, our citizenship is in heaven, where we eagerly await the return of the Lord Jesus, who have transformed the body of our state in the conformity of his body. And then again, Paul writing Titus chapter 2, and verse 11 following, he said, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. Here it is, verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing of our great God and Savior. We're talking about the rapture. Verses referring to the rapture. Paul dipped his pen in ink, inspired by the Holy Ghost, and wrote in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. It's called the resurrection chapter. Christ died for our sin, was buried according to scriptures, and on the third day he rose again. Verse 3 and 4 of chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. I told you, you're going to have to get the key. You're not going to be able to get all these down. But, however, progressing through 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul describes that wonderful, momentous occasion when these old bodies are going to be glorified. These bodies sown in weakness are going to be raised in power. These bodies, some mortal body, going to be raised in immortal body. And he talks about that immortal body that we're going to have. I saw that to lead up to the latter part of chapter 15 of the book of 1 Corinthians. Here's what he said. Verse 51 following. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkle of an eye. He's not talking about physical sleep there. The word is koimeo. If you look it up in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, also 1 Corinthians 15, he's talking about the body going back to the dust. How many don't believe? Absent from the body, present with the Lord. And the body goes back to the dust. And that's what he says. I show you a mystery, we shall not all sleep. Hang with me. We shall not all sleep. He said, I show you a mystery, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment. You know where we get our word from, the word moment? The word is atom, A-T-O-M. In a moment. Then he says, in the twinkling of an eye. The twinkling of an eye. Do you know how many times a person bats his or her eye every minute? 25 times. Do you know what someone has calculated? The twinkling of an eye? 1/50th of a second. 1/50th of a second. 25 bats of your eye. Every minute. Some of you may bat it more and you keep them closed, amen? Don't go to sleep on me, amen? But really, do you know if you took a trip, 10-hour trip, driving at 55 miles an hour, guess how long your eyes would be closed? 33 minutes. 33 minutes of a 10-hour journey driving 55 miles an hour because of the eye blinking. I'm telling you this. I'm telling you, Jesus said to Paul, in the twinkling of an eye, faster than you can bat an eye, at the trumpet, when the trumpet will sound. I've heard it said, and I've said it, and I believe it. Friend, I'm stopped looking for the signs. I'm starting to listen for the trumpet. Amen, and amen, and amen. But just think about it a moment, beloved. What it's going to be like when Jesus comes again. I believe he could come at any moment. He could come at any moment. Well, what's it going to be like? Think about America. Think about the chaos. Think about the confusion. Think about, you just think it's hell now. You just think there's trouble now. You just think that there's troubles and problems now. You think about when Jesus comes and snatches his bride away, when he catches us up to be with him in glory, as we've been singing this morning. You think about what's going to take place and transpire on this nation of ours. Think about the salt being removed from a decaying and a putrefied generation. You take salt and meat will spoil, salt preserves, salt, and yet we will be gone. We will be gone. The light will be gone. What happens when the light is gone? Darkness prevails. You just think it's bad now. I'm telling you, and that's my own, I'm going to share my personal opinion. My personal opinion, people ask me from time to time, where's America in Bible prophecy? Personal opinion, I do not think America, if America is found in Bible prophecy, you think about when the church is snatched away. Look at the wickedness. Look at the church, when the church is gone, there's not going to be that restrained power of the Holy Ghost. I believe personally that America's going to be found in that crowd in Zechariah chapter 14 that's going to come against Israel, and God Almighty's going to intervene, and God always has a final say-so. America is headed for a fall. I'm telling you, just as sure as I'm standing here, but you just think that there's trouble now. Paul wrote in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7, he said, the mystery of lawlessness doth already work. And the word lawlessness means mystery of iniquity. It means sin and wickedness. The mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only now he who let it will let until he be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked be revealed. That's referring, no doubt, to the Holy Spirit of God, the Church of the Living God, opening up the front gates for all the devil and his crowd come in. I'm telling you right now, we're the remnant of the blood bought, the blood washed, and we are to shine our light, and we're to be good salt and good light in a bright world. God, help us not to compromise. God, help us not to back up. God, help us not to let up. God, help us not to shut up until we're caught up. We've got good news to tell, and we ought to go and tell it. Amen, and amen, and amen. Well, the rapture, the revelation. My sweet mom, 2004, October the 21st, prayed for 22 years. My sweet mom, she had religion like maybe some of you today. She sat in church. She understood head knowledge, but not heart knowledge. Brother I and sister, I want to tell you, you better be born again. You better not just play games with God. And there she was, a lost church member. Prayed for mom, sweet mom, 22 years, October the 21st, 2004. I had the privilege of telling my mama, Mama, after talking with her numerous times, had a stroke, and there she is over in the nursing home in Summer Hill Nursing Home in Perry, Georgia. And that day I was there on a Thursday afternoon. Oh, I wish you could have been there. I was there. I saw my mama lift up her hand and say, Jesus, be merciful to me, a sinner. I've sinned. I trust in your precious blood. Save me from my sins. I heard it. I saw the tears streaming down her face. And thank God I felt the burden as it was lifted. And I just rejoiced with her. Needless to say, before I left, I said to my sweet mom, I said, Mama, I'll be back. Mama, I'll see you next week. From Perry to here is about 100 miles and an hour and a half drive, 2-3 hours both ways. I said, Mama, I try to go see her as often as I could, about once a week. I said, Mama, I'll see you. I'll see you next week. I'm coming back. She had a smile on her face and said, I look forward to seeing you. I'll look forward when you come back. What am I saying? I'm saying the next week I showed up and said, Mama, I told you I'd be back. She had a smile on her face and said, I'm glad to see you. I was waiting for you to come back. If I kept my promise like that, how much more is Jesus going to keep his promise? He said he's coming back. You believe he's coming back? I said he said he's coming back. Do you believe he's coming back? He's going to keep his promises because he's a covenant-keeping God. Amen and amen and amen. Oh, yes, he is. First, rapture ready. Are you rapture ready? One, confident expectation. This ought to be a message of hope. This ought to be a message of encouragement. This ought to be a message of anticipation. Oh, that our Lord is coming. And therefore, we don't have to be stressed and worried and pressured to the extent that we can't look up and enjoy Him day by day. Number two, not only that, but number two, beware of days of deception. How many believe that we're living in days of deception? Y'all, others who didn't raise your hand, come talk to me this afternoon. I want to carry you in a Bible study. We are in days of deception, friend. We are in days of deception when the devil wants to make you think good is bad and bad is good and light is darkness and darkness is light and bitter is sweet and sweet is bitter. And the sad indictment is the average Christian can't even tell the difference between what's right and what's wrong. Oh, God, help us. Deception, two ways. The devil's going to try to wear out the saints. And that is his tactic. Watch me, watch me. He is going to wear out the saints in the last days through deception and through delusion. Deception and delusion. How do I know that? Revelation chapter 13 says that the devil... Hey, how many has he been wearing you out? Man, boy, the devil sure tries to wear us out. The devil, don't look around somebody else. You know the devil's been wearing you out too. You know the devil's been lying to you too. You know the devil's been on your back too. You know the devil's been telling you you're nobody, you're no good, and you're not going to make it, and God don't love you, and you might as well give up, and all this Christianity business. The devil, I came to tell you today, the devil's a liar. Amen. But deception, delusion. Revelation chapter 13 says the Antichrist and the beast, that is the beast and the false prophet, wear out the saints. No wonder your mind's bombarded. No wonder you stay in a state of confusion. No wonder you're double-minded. No wonder you can't concentrate for a little while. It's the enemy's plan to knock you out of the will of God and to get you distracted, doing a whole bunch of other things that won't amount to a hill of bean at the judgment seat of Christ. Amen. That's absolutely the truth. Deception and then delusion. Write this verse down. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Paul wrote in that chapter, by the way, in reference to the coming of the Lord. Chapter 2, verse 1. I beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, our gathering together unto Him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or troubled in spirit, or by word or by letter from us, that the day of Christ is at hand, the coming, parousia. Then in verse 9 of chapter 2 of the book of Thessalonica, here it is. Because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause shall God send them a strong delusion. They might believe a lie, that they might all be damned because they received not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Hey, folks, I need somebody to help me. These young people think I'm talking about science fiction today. I'm talking about Bible. Can I get an amen? Amen. This is the Bible. This isn't science fiction. Hey, listen, friend, you need to wake up. Listen, brother, you need to wake up. Listen, sister, you need to get stirred up. I mean, in the light of what the Word of God says, I know our culture, I know our circumstances, I know our environment and all that stuff. We just need to get in the book. We just need to start reading, thank God, and God tells us how this thing's going to end up. But a lot of God's people aren't reading it. A lot of God's people aren't interested in it. We'd rather worry. We'd rather be bent over with cares of this life. We'd rather be depressed. We'd rather be inactive. We'd rather whine and all this other stuff. God, help us today. Help us today. Wayne Grudem said this. Wayne Grudem is a theologian. He said this, and I believe, I agree with him. He said, if the devil can get you hooked up and the devil can get you so wrapped up in the things of the world, watch this, see if you agree with me, then you become ineffective to longing and looking for the second coming of the Lord Jesus. Fact is, probably some of you, let's be honest, some of us hadn't even thought about the second coming of Jesus, maybe until the last time I preached on it, 5 months ago. Maybe you hadn't even thought about it. I'm telling you, God is telling us, listen, He's saying this is something that you'll give you a shot of B12. Man, this is what will keep you encouraged, that the Word of God is true. I know you're facing hard times. I know financially it's hard to meet. I know you're working all the time. I know that people are coming against you. But praise God, you can get back and say, hey, man, I long. I've read the last page. Praise God, I'm going to stay encouraged because I know my God is in control. Some of you are depressed today. You're down. You're defeated. Why? You've taken your eyes and you've gotten, hey, listen, I love you. I got to tell you this. It's easy for any of us to do. We let our passions and our heart and our ambitions and our goals and our emotions get wrapped up in the things of this world. And the next thing you know, we forget about what God said in His Word. And we just get in that old ho-hum attitude, that complacent attitude if we're not careful. But wait a minute. The Lord's coming back. Every once in a while, somebody come up to me and say, Brother Pastor, do you believe that President Obama is the Antichrist? How many have ever heard that? And I want you to know we ought to pray for our president. I know we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world and against spiritual wickedness in high places. But listen to me, President Obama may not be the Antichrist. I don't think he is, but I do think this. He has the spirit of the Antichrist all over him. And this is going to be recorded too, by the way. I don't care. Y'all just come get me out of jail, amen? Really, I'm serious. I wouldn't be surprised if folks get a hold of this and Washington gets a hold of it and they start targeting us. You mark it down. IRS and all that, they're coming after us. Hello? They're coming after us. Now, you can be a friend of the world and save your own hide and then the Lord say, depart from me, I never knew you. Or you can, by the grace of God, take a stand and say, hey, I'm not going to shut up or back up. I'm going to keep on telling the truth of God in love. I'm going to be on Jesus' side. It doesn't matter if the persecution comes. We got a bunch of pansy Christians today. I'm telling you the honest truth. We do. This place ought to be filled up today. Can I get amen? Amen. That tells you a bunch of Christians are at home sleeping, gone over there and gone over here and done this and there and just running around and not concerned about the things of God. I'm not being critical. I'm being factual. I'm being factual. And the fact is, some of us fit in the same category. God help us. Where's your commitment today? Well, what kind of love you have for the Lord? Come on, man. Cop out, hold out, drop out, or be all out. Lord had me to preach a message a few weeks ago. Be an all-out Christian. God help us. We give God lip service this day instead of giving Him our whole heart, our whole, and then we wonder why our family's in trouble. We wonder why we're having problems with the devil when we're being half-hearted and lip service and giving God maybe a few minutes. Already some of you are looking at your watch wondering when the preacher's going to shut up. Amen. Come on. I'm telling you, we just got to get a Holy Ghost revived. That's what we need. But that's one of the troubles we're having in this old world. But think about it. This spirit of deception. Mamas and daddies, look up here just a moment. I got to be your pastor. I got to every once in a while tell you just what I feel and get right in your face, because you know why? I need somebody to get in my face every once in a while. And if you're offended today, that's fine. Come up to me at the end of the service and I'll forgive you. Amen. I'm just kidding. I love you. You know I love you. If I didn't love you, man, I wouldn't take a chance and saying things that I construe that you might. But I just want what's best for you. I know what God wants what's best for you. Listen to me. How many believe right now, that there's some of your family, they are under the devil's deception? The devil's got them deceived. Well, let me ask you a question. What are you doing about it? What are you doing about it? Are you just being passive about it? Are you just saying, oh, well, I don't know, they're just divided? No! Listen, we have authority in the name of Jesus. We've got the blood of the Lamb. And the Lord wants us to learn how to pray and ask God to remove the deceptive forces and the delusional forces. And oftentimes, we're not doing that. I wish I had time to talk about that a little bit more, but I'm going to move to the third area. Thank God for this great salvation. Confident expectation. Beware of the devil's deception. Number three, God's great salvation. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3. Great salvation. Listen to me. I don't believe the church is going through the tribulation. You know why? Because the Bible seems to indicate it won't. You know why? I know there's difference to degree. Some say there's post-tribulationists and mid-tribulationists and partial rapture and all these theories. But if you really look at the Bible, you can find out, grammatically speaking, historically speaking, literally speaking, the Word of God, in my personal opinion as your pastor, points toward the church being raptured and then the tribulation taking place. How do I know it's a great salvation? Write this verse down. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9. Here's what Paul said, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 9. In the context of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he's talking about the end time. For example, in verse 1, he says, but at the times and the season, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, that the day of the Lord is at hand. When they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail of a woman with child. Verse 9, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9 says this, God is not appointing us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's what I want you to remember. If you're listening, say amen. Amen. Here's what I want you to remember. If God is not appointed us to wrath, can I tell you the tribulation era according to Daniel chapter 9, verse 27? And according to Revelation chapter 6, the opening of the seals, the white horse rider, the red horse rider, the black horse rider, the pale green horse rider, death and hell and all kind of calamities. God has not appointed us to wrath. And there's going to be the wrath of God poured out in the tribulation time. Now, hear me. I didn't say the Lord has not designated that we go through persecution. I did not say that the Lord has promised us that we're going to have smooth sailing. No, no. I did not say that. But I said this. God is not going to be wrathful with His people, but God will be chastising His people. There's a difference in chastisement. There's a difference in chastisement and persecution versus the wrath of God. You say, Brother Pastor, why are you saying that? Because our view of the end time ought to be based right here, not what some book said or some preacher said on television. It ought to be based on what the Bible says. All right? He's not upon us to wrath. God's great salvation, and that's also found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. Look that up as well. He's not upon us to wrath. And the church, therefore, thank God there's grace available for us. Hey, you know what? It's kind of like the story of Noah. Remember Noah? He was preserved with his ark. In his ark, three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And I got a theory. If you're listening, say amen. Amen. I got a theory. Here's my theory. When Noah and his family came in the ark, God shut the door. I've got a theory. And the animals came in. Y'all remember the animals? How many remember the animals who came in the ark? I got a theory, and here it is. I believe maybe Noah put those animals to sleep. I just got a theory. He put those animals to sleep. You say, Brother Pastor, how you figure that? Well, when they arrived and let the door out, if he wouldn't have put the animals to sleep, there'd have been 10,000 rabbits hopping out. Some of you will get it later. Hello. Oh, but God's not to... I talked with a man a few weeks ago, 2 weeks ago. There's somebody can verify. 70-year-old man. Lost, undone, without God, without his son. I said, you need to be saved. Have you ever trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? No, you can do it now. Had the privilege of taking the Bible and sharing with him how to have a personal relationship, not religion, but a relationship. I saw him get out on his knees. I heard him cry out from his heart. I saw the tears dripping off his face. And he cried out to God to save him. I'm telling you, God is in the still life-changing business. Hallelujah and hallelujah and hallelujah. Now, y'all aren't excited because you hadn't been witnessing anybody lately. But if you've been witnessing somebody lately and they said, I don't want to hear it, and then you see God break through, then you'll start shouting. I know why you're not excited, because you haven't been witnessing lately. And I'm not saying I'm doing everything I ought to do either. When's the last time you shared with somebody how to be saved? A month? A week? A year? When's the last time you invited somebody to come to church? Come on, talk to me. We just gotten slack, hadn't we? Come on. I don't believe in this condemnation. I'm not condemnation, I'm accountability. This is accountable time. Amen. The Bible says we're to hold each other accountable. Come on. We don't want to be accountable. We want to be accountable to this and that, but when it comes to our Christian life, we don't want to be accountable. Wait a minute, listen to me. We are accountable to each other. And we'll stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ. But I just said that to say this. Last Thursday, I had a privilege of talking with a man. By the way, y'all look at me, look at me. I'm not trying to brag or boast. God knows I've got my flaws too. Hear me now. I just want to say this from my heart. If you don't make time to talk with people about the relationship with God, you're not going to have time. You and I have to make time to do it. Everybody's busy. I know what it is, 70- and 80-hour work week every week. I understand how it is to work 7 days a week. I work 7 days a week. But if this is a priority in your life, you're going to do it. If it's not a priority, you're not going to do it. How about today? Will you purpose in your heart? Start obeying the Word of God. The pastor, not the pastor, but the Word of God. Jesus said, go and teach and go and share and go. Brother, this world and this community will be turned upside down if we just start doing what God told us to do. We got to be pumped up and primed up and petted up and feelings hurt and all that stuff. I'm not going to get on that. Thank God I'm going to another. But you know what that 60-year-old man said to me Thursday night? Some of you know him if I mentioned his name. He doesn't come to church here. Here's what he said. I said, what about it? I knocked on his door for probably 10 or 15 minutes. Oh, do I have other things to do? Yeah. Could I have been doing other things? Oh, yeah, yeah, man. Did it cost me going about 20 miles or so? Yeah, yeah. I'm not saying that to brag. I'm just telling you, serving God is not going to always be convenient. And we got to get out of our little comfort zone and get in the combat zone. Amen and amen and amen. I will tell you, the reason you're not happy today, the reason all the things of this world aren't bringing you happiness, it's because when you see somebody pass from death into life and you start serving God, you know you're doing what God wants you to do, that's when happiness comes into play. Amen and amen and amen. And you can serve God on your job, and I trust you will. Chances are, this 60-year-old man said this. I think he was in his 60s, maybe mid-60s. I said, time's running out. Are you ready to meet God? Rapture ready. The Lord could come back any moment. You know what he told me? Not now. Not now. Not now. Not now. Not now. Sad words, not now. Well, when is the time if not now? How many know somebody that's saying not now? Not now. Not now. I told him, I said, we're not promised to tomorrow. Today's the day of salvation. But I had to leave him in the hands of the Lord. I'm talking about God's great salvation. then here we go. Hang with me. Y'all still okay for a moment? Say amen if you're still all right. Number four, rapture ready. Not only with confident expectation, not only with beware of that dangerous deception and God's great salvation. Number three, number four. Now, I got to camp here for just a few minutes if y'all allow me, okay? I tell you, this is so important, so important, so important. Number four, and that is Armageddon's final confrontation. Hang with me just a minute. Lately, I've been praying and spending time and trying to say, Lord, teach me about this subject, the battle of Armageddon. There's so much in this matter. And it seems, according to Revelation chapter 16, Revelation 16, the word battle is defined, I believe it's Revelation 16, verse 14. The word battle in Revelation 16, 14, by the way, in the context, that's referring to the Armageddon battle. Also in Revelation 9, here's what the word battle is, the word translated by Greek scholars, campaign. Did you get it? Campaign. Meaning this, there seems to be a series of battles, chronologically speaking, that will lead up to the final battle of Armageddon. Keep in mind, I said the rapture of the church, the soon return of our Lord, the any moment, then 7 years. Watch this now. I'm going to talk a little bit about that. And at the end of the 7 years, the battle of Armageddon is going to take place. But wait a minute. There's going to be a campaign of battles leading up to this. I'm telling you right now, the stage is being set. I don't know when and all that, but you can look over the Middle East right now and see what's happening over there in Israel and Iran. Did you hear, how many heard Benjamin Netanyahu speaking to the UN last week? Anybody? All right, one person, two people. Benjamin Netanyahu had a picture of a bomb. Did you see that bomb? Like a cannonball with a fuse on it. And he was given phases as to where Iran is in their capability of accumulating uranium and building a nuclear bomb and threatening, by the way, to obliterate, annihilate both the Jews and Americans. Netanyahu, before the UN, showed a picture of a bomb with a fuse on it and said, Iran's already past stage one, now they're in stage two, and he said, and I heard him say, probably March or April, they will, he drew a red line. I've been hearing about the red line. He drew a red line and said, this is it. After that, it's over, it's too much. And he suggested March or April is when they'll pass the red line. What am I saying? I'm saying, I'm confident to say this, unless something happens, notice I said that. Unless something happens, mark it down, there's going to be a battle and a war with Iran unless something happens. I look for it to happen in the next few months. I know that seems to be holding off right now because of the election, but you mark it down. It's going to catch you by surprise. You're going to turn on the news and it's going to be affecting everybody, but you're going to remember Pastor tried to tell you about it. Unless something happens, unless there's some, it's inevitable, isn't it? It's inevitable. All you got to do is see the handwritings on the wall. But wait a minute, all that's in God's plan. Ezekiel 38 and 39 is going to be one of the first battles. Some suggest that'll take place before the rapture. But you know, I've been really praying about this and reading the scriptures. I personally think now, I'm subject to change tomorrow, but now, I believe that battle's going to take place after the rapture of the church. Why? Here's why. Keep in mind now, I'm stepping this off. This is like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years at the beginning of the tribulation. I think that Ezekiel 38 and 39 is going to take place. Why? Who is Ezekiel 38 and 39? Russia is the, and there'll be a alignment of nations coming together. Islamic nations. Iran, Egypt, hello. Libya, hello. Russia, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Syria, and Ukraine, Somalia, Ethiopia. I mean, these Islamic nations, and you can read it in Ezekiel 38 and 39, they're going to invade Israel from the north. How many know that Israel's hated today? Oh, yeah, I'm telling you, it's later than you think. And what's going to happen, they're going to... You say, but Brother Pastor, why do you believe it's going to happen in the tribulation? Here's why. If you read Ezekiel 38 and 39, you'll find out this. Brother Boyd and I have talked some about this. There's a reference to these, and there's a reference to latter years. When in the world has Israel and will Israel ever feel a time of peace? Never. Never. Except for after the Antichrist confirms a covenant with the Jewish people, telling them he's going to keep them safe. That seems to be the trend of when this invasion will take place, Ezekiel 38 and 39. And it'll be a time of peace and safety. You say, where do you get that from? Daniel chapter 11, 2 Thessalonians chapter 5, I mentioned a moment ago. When they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail of a woman with child. At any rate, whether you agree it was before or after, it doesn't matter. But the point is this, there'll be a campaign of battles all leading up to the battle of all battles, the battle of Armageddon. All right? Chronologically speaking, as these battles progress, you know what God's going to do in Ezekiel 38 and 39? He's going to intervene from the north and totally annihilate these armies supernaturally. You can read it. The devil's always been a counterfeit Christ. How many agree with that? And you know what the Satan's going to do? His campaign and his headquarters are going to be over there in, many believe, the revived Roman Empire. Keep your ear and eye open for the EU. And you know what's going to happen? More than likely, he's going to get wind of that, what's going on with Ezekiel 38 and 39, this array of armies that are fighting, and then the Lord supernaturally intervene, according to Ezekiel 38 and 39. And then the Antichrist seemingly is going to make his way over to Jerusalem. That's where this is going to take place. How do I know that? Zechariah chapter 14 says so. They're going to make his way over there to Jerusalem. And then you know what's going to happen according to Daniel chapter 11? Daniel chapter 11, verses 41 following. There are going to be the armies, the kings of the south, and more armies in the north are all going to merge in Jerusalem. What are the armies of the south? Africa, Egypt. What are the armies of the north? Syria. And see what's going on? These armies of the east, these armies of the west, the Antichrist, these armies of the south and the north, according to Daniel chapter 11, are going to merge there in Jerusalem. And the Bible says every nation is going to come against Jerusalem. Can y'all hear me? And at that moment, Revelation 19 is going to take place. Jesus is going to come back. John said, behold, I saw a white horse, and he that sat on him is called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes are the flame of fire. On his head are many crowns. On his head are many crowns. Not Stephanos' crown, diadem crown, King of kings and Lord of lords. Amen. He's going to come back. On his head are many crowns, and he hath a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. I'm telling you, he's going to come and say he's going to step on that Mount of Olives and split. I wish I had time to talk about that battle. Megiddo, 1,000 square miles, 67 miles long, 14 miles wide. Napoleon said it's perfect battlefield. Oh, yes! The final battle of Armageddon. That all leads us up to this. Rapture ready, and I've got to close. Rapture ready. Number 5. Confident expectation. Beware of the devil's deception. God's great salvation. The final Armageddon's confrontation. That leads us to this. Well, what should I do, Brother Pastor? Now's the time for preparation. Here's what I want you to remember. All right, you ready for it? Here it is. Number one, we got to start loving each other. There's just no excuse for not loving our brother. You know what we do on Sunday? Here's what we do. Skipping church. How you doing? Fine. You're lying. How you doing? Fine, I'll see you later. We skip in church, we run out of church, and oftentimes we're critical toward each other. Oftentimes we bicker and we fuss, and oftentimes we're not really loving it. Can you imagine what would happen to Jasper County if we, the people of God, would just start loving each other? I can't hear you. How do I know love is a key thing? Write this verse down. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. Paul wrote in the context of the second coming of Christ that the church ought to be loving each other. We're on the same team. Hello, 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 hallelujah. We're on the same team. Hey, listen, it's all right to disagree, but we don't have to have an attitude about it. I can't hear you. It's all right. Diversity and maturity equals unity. It's all right not to see eye to eye on everything, but we don't have to fall out with each other. Y'all are shutting down on me because you know what I'm saying is hitting a nerve. Amen. I'm glad somebody else preached it. Can I get an amen? Somebody's listening. Hallelujah. You know, I can tell when somebody's hungry. You get full and all the old world and stuff like this don't mean a lot to you and you're just interested in leaving. That's all you're thinking about. But when you get hungry for God and you get hungry for the Word of God, stuff like this, man, you can't get enough of it. And I appreciate y'all being here. Y'all got the heart of Job. You really do. But loving each other, number one. Number two, living spiritually minded. Living spiritually minded. Where I get that? Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Living spirit. You know the average Christian today? You got to backslide in order to be in fellowship with them. The average Christian today doesn't want to talk about Jesus. They're talking about the ball game and talking about this and that and this and that. And to talk about spiritual things, you just about have to backslide to get in fellowship with them. Boy, that hit a nerve. I can tell that hit a nerve. But if we're not careful, you know, God said we're to be spiritually minded. Hello? Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sit at the right hand of God. Set your affection on the things above, for you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Live spiritually minded. Do you know anybody spiritually minded? That's how we're supposed to live. Spiritually minded. I know we got to live in this old world. God help us. Anyway. Not only love each other spiritually, not only live spiritually minded. Number three, can y'all still hear me say amen? Listen, some of you may not come back tonight, and we're going to have a movie tonight, so there's not going to be preaching. You can hang in there another few minutes, can't you? Amen. Come on now. One, you'll be glad. I trust that you'll be glad. I know Brother Pastor preaches a long time on some message, but my heart's just burdened today. It's burning, and your children, I know they're ready to go eat and all that stuff, but you be glad they heard the Word of God. They don't have to be in confusion. They don't have to be, well, I just, you know, I know we're time conscious and all that, and thanks for bearing with me. Number three, and I'll be finished. I've just got two or three more, and I'll be through. You believe that? Say amen. Lift up each other. You know what? It's time to start lifting up each other. When's the last time you came to the altar to pray for a brother? When's the last time you came to the altar to pray with a sister? I can't hear you. When's the last time you shared some concern with somebody? We ought to be lifting up each other. I can't hear you. Hello. Lifting up each other. You know what the book of Hebrews chapter 10 verse 25 says? In the context of the second coming of Christ. Here's what Hebrews 10:25 says. We're to provoke one another to good works. Stir up each other to good works. I believe in you, brother. I believe in you, sister. Don't give up the fight yet. Don't quit yet. Don't throw in the towel yet. We can get a hold of God. God's got the battle. The battle's the Lord. Hang in there. Hold the line. Hold the line. Hold the line. It's time we start lifting up one another. Amen and amen and amen. Are you doing it? When's the last time you encouraged somebody? I don't mean flattery. I mean encouragement. I mean if you got to the old-fashioned altar and somebody comes and they're brokenhearted, praying with them, praying over, oh God, help us to learn to lift up each other. And then not only lift up each other, but learn patience. How many need some patience? Like right now, you're wishing the pastor would shut up. Yeah. It's all right. It's all right. Write this verse down. James 5:8. Read it. James 5:8. Be patient, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. That's what James says. And James says in the context of farmers planting and reaping and plowing and sowing, it happened all in the same season. In the coming of the Lord, rapture ready. How can I be rapture ready? I'm loving each other. I'm lifting each other up. I'm learning patience. And then I'm looking to snatch others out of the lake of fire. This verse, in the context of the second coming of Christ, Jude, verse 22 through 24, the Jude, it's only one chapter. Others snatched with fear, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. I'm telling you, just as sure as we're standing here, I'm cutting through some things. I'm going to end the message right there. I had some other things to share. But listen, beloved. The Lord could come back any moment. Are you doing all you can? Serving God? Loving the Lord? Are you witnessing, sharing your faith? I believe all of us could use a little improvement, amen? And all of us, if we're not careful, we get a little bit sidetracked on stuff going on around us. Let's purpose in our heart right now as we stand to our feet.